of that cardboard. Crack, 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 crack another pack. I'm addicted to that cardboard. Crack, I'm running out of cash. I'ma have to charge. Spend my rent money on some magic cards. I'm running out of cash, but I'm living large. Spend my food money on some magic cards.
Hello, boys and girls, men and women, all you planeswalkers out there of the multiverse. We're here with episode 7 of Cardboard Crack, fresh out of GP Columbus. I'm your host, Jeff, here with Alec. We're kicking it in the hotel room. We're living it. We're loving it. Both on the 2-4 drop list. Not too happy, but I mean, for our first actual, you know, GP experience, not too mad about it either. How you feeling, Alec?
I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm content. I started building this deck almost 8 months ago, but I didn't start playing it until about a month and a half ago. And this is truly, so 6 rounds here, probably about 10 rounds with you.
And that's
over time.
Very
plus,
limited.
Plus,
like, you're going to face Sneak and Show, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. And then plus a Grixis Delver deck at that time, at Time Travelers.
Yeah,
and
once.
You know, so I have very, very limited experience, and to be able to go in and just get 2 wins for me out of 6 rounds, I'm good with that. I don't care.
Hitting 30%, man.
You know, fuck it. I mean, what? There's nothing more that you can ask for it, you know?
Right.
I mean, you are starting out, and to anybody else who's starting out there, you need it. You need to win, or at least try to get a couple under your belt. And the more decks you go up against, the more of these things, the better you get.
The more you learn how to sideboard, the better choices you'll make, the better you'll actually see the lines of play. You know, having only like a month, 2 months, you know. I'd say someone to have in a deck for 6 months probably wasn't even prepared for this event. They're probably like an X and 4.
Yeah. You know,
it's, you need to learn. You need to know your deck inside now.
You need to be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. And if you're not comfortable with it, you're never going to be able to succeed in Legacy. I mean, hell, without having a comfortable the comfortability with your deck and the okayness, you're not going to succeed in Standard. You're not going to succeed in Modern. I mean, that's the whole point of the game. You need to be able to make your moves.
You can't just be like, oh, you know, that deck's hot right now. I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to play it at the next event. Well, you're not going to know all the lines. Mm-hmm. You're going to misplay. And you're going to be like, why did I play this? I went like 4-4 and dropped and had a horrible time with the deck.
Yeah. You know, so I see that we have a lot of improving to do if we continue with the format, like, which we are. But, you know, it's, I'm happy.
I say we do need to go to more Legacy events, not just the once a month at Time Travelers.
Yeah.
Great job. You can check it out in Berkeley, Michigan.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be a sponsors of ours soon.
Let's hope so. But we should definitely, like, head out, like, look in other, Michigan, like LGSs and whatnot that have it. One of the guys I heard today who was a Michigan local was saying that Gamers Gauntlet has a lot of the Legacy events, like I want to say weekly, if not bi-weekly.
Nice.
So they always have something going on, and they have a spiky Legacy community there.
Yeah.
A lot of them play Eldrazi.
Ugh.
Yeah,
it's gross. Yeah, Jeff, that's the only reason. If Jeff would have won that game, he would have been still playing.
Yeah. But,
yeah, you know, and
it would be a good place to learn. Mm-hmm. Because even if, like, the majority of them were playing Eldrazi, it still gives you, like, okay, I played against it once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was today.
Yeah.
Time Travelers didn't have a deck for it. They had Belcher and Dredge. And I had someone piloting both those decks who has never seen them before.
Yeah. And then, what were your first 2 matches, Jeff? This is a perfect segue to go
into
what matches
we played
we
against today. Yeah, I like that. My first 2 matches of the day was against Dredge. 2 of my unfavored matchups to start out the day. So, first match, I played Powered Dredge. For those of you, you know, Powered, well, there's no power in Legacy. Or, you know, like Mana Dredge. So it runs the Mana Confluence, the Cephalid, Colosseum, whatever it is.
City of Brass?
I think it might run City of... It's either City of Brass or Mana Confluence, maybe both.
Okay.
And I know it also runs... no, I forget the name of the land. Regardless, it's a better strategy than just Gemstone Mine. That's it.
Gemstone Mine.
Okay. It's a better strategy than Manalist because you're not dead on board to a Graft Digger's Cage.
Yeah.
But I mean, this matchup. So game one, he takes game one. And that's to be expected. I mean, pre-board, I'm not really favored against Dredge running Sneak and Show. Really don't have any... I basically just have to have the Nuts turn one and just go off.
Okay.
And if I can't do that, then I'm kind of dead in the water.
Yeah.
Game two. So I board everything in perfectly. I have... at least what I thought was good, you know, on the play. I don't think I brought in Blood Moons because I don't think they really would have helped that much because it's... They don't really need their land. It just kind of helps.
Yeah.
So I brought in, you know, my Kozilek's Returns, which was a last-minute change from Pyroclasm, just give some instant speed removal. I brought those in. I brought my Sudden Shocks in. A little bit more removal. And, with that, I just got there on the show and tell route. My opponent didn't have anything to, you know, kind of fight against, like a giant idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, okay, Grizzlebrand with the... No, I think it was even Sneak Attack. Got Sneak Attack and, okay, Grizzlebrand. Done. Okay, next turn, Grizzlebrand and Ashen Rider, end game.
Mm-hmm.
So, that one, game two was nice. Then we go into game three. And game three was terrible. He milled almost his entire deck by dredging. And at the very end, I started my day with a game warning. So, we both got a warning for... It's nothing major, but it's to know for future.
It's to know for future, but also I'd like to point out that, yes, you know, especially with us being new in the format, and, you know, you still learn card types, but the guy made a misplay, and you got the warning for not catching it, basically.
Yeah, he got the warning, I got the warning. But, yeah. I mean, I got the warning for not catching it, he got the warning for, you know, not catching it.
Yeah.
But,
Well, it's not even not catching it, it's just him misplaying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we both didn't know.
Yeah.
It was,
a flashback.
It was when you counter something with flashback, the thing is exiled no matter what because of the text on flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't catch that. Whatever, I mean, I was going to lose the game anyways. But, so he just gets his entire deck down. I'm just dead draw after dead draw. I've been doing everything I could, brainstorming, and then into a ponder, shuffle everything up, you know, trying to get something working, fetching after a brainstorm, just mixing everything up even more, just, I'm trying here.
Yeah.
And just nothing. I think the only damage he took was from maybe, like, fetching a land or something, like, something to that extent, or activating Mana Confluence. I think that's what it was activating Mana Confluence.
Mm.
That was the only reason he did anything.
Okay.
But, so, that one, you know, it was some bad beats, you know, having to face Dredge in round one. And, I mean, it is what it is. It's a good
Dredge
deck.
For you.
Yeah.
It's Dredge for you.
But then we go into round two. And so I'm on my first loss of the day. I'm, you know, I at least got one win out of him. So I'm at least high on that. So going to round two, and this is Manalist Dredge. Okay, so he either needs to just instantly go off and he wins,
mm-hmm.
or we're just done. So almost immediately, I don't remember how I got him down to like 14, but he must have been like, I think he was street wraithing himself. And he did a few times, just trying to find like something to help him out in the deck.
Yeah.
And I fetched once. I'm pretty sure I got the an Emrakul in play, and he just scooped after it was my turn again. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't finish. We go into game two. I got real greedy in game two. Got real dumb. I should have just played it safe. Had a Graf Digger's Cage in play. This, you know, shuts down their entire plan. They rely on bringing back creatures from the graveyard into play.
Mm-hmm.
If I have Graf Digger's Cage out, well, have fun. You can't, you know, blow up any of my stuff. You need mana to activate something.
Mm-hmm.
And for their show and tell mirror, I'm assuming what it is they bring in giant idiots.
Mm-hmm.
What I found out is he brought in 3 Ashen Riders and I want to say Sarah Avatar, but I know that's not right. It's power and toughness is equal to your life total. So
I'm trying to think.
So he brings a show and tell twice. I get a Grizzlebrand and another Grizzlebrand because. Or like an Emrakul and a Grizzlebrand. Yeah, I get an Emrakul on the first one, which gets exiled off of the Ashen Rider enter. And then I get a Grizzlebrand off the second, and he gets like the Avatar. And so while I did this, the turn before I show and telled for the first time with for the Emrakul, I brainstormed and saw I had a sneak attack. I was like, you know what? I think I should be fine. Not knowing that, you know, why wouldn't they bring in a giant idiot? They're only running whatever the card is that you sack 3 creatures, flash it back, and you bring a creature from your graveyard into play.
I don't know.
It's one of the Dredge staples, yeah. Regardless. So he has his Ashen Riders, and I'm like, you know what, I can either play this next turn and activate it a couple times for the win, essentially, or I could do play it safe with Show and Tell. And I thought I was, you know, playing it okay with Show and Tell, and then I just got punished. And so we move into game 3. I'm on the play again, and I just get it. I don't have my Graf Digger's Cage. I don't think I really had any hate cards, but I had what I needed to make sure he didn't go off. And I think I got an Emrakul in play off of Show and Tell, and that was game. So after that win, which should have been an easy 2-0, but ended up being a 2-1. My next match is a Merfolk matchup, and I was fearing this matchup because I know that they run Forces. I know they probably run either Daze or Spell Pierce. You know, they probably have a decent counter package to them, being a mono blue deck.
Mm-hmm.
But I go up against the guy, and I think I turn one, if not turn two, Show and Tell Emrakul each game, and it was just nothing he could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just scooped right then and there. So.
Easy one. Easy yeah. One to comment on.
I mean.
Merfolk.
Yeah. Easy 2-0. Yep. I think game 1 I got him with Emrakul. Game 2 I got him with Grizzlebrand. He put some Merfolk into play. Like, okay, that's cute. And then, if depending on what he would have done the next turn, I had a enough mana for a Kozilek's Return,
mm-hmm.
being able to pay for his whatever the Merfolk is you can sack to counter something for one. I don't remember what it's called. I used to have a bunch of them. I apologize, everybody. I used to have them. I should know what they're called, but I forgot.
But yeah, comment and tell Jeff's an idiot on our Twitter at CB.
At CBC underscore cast.
Or,
please tell me what they're called.
Yeah. Tell me he's an idiot, too. He likes that. He's a glutton for punishment.
So then we move into game 4. And here we have Rug Delver. I knew it was a Delver list. I wasn't sure really which one it was. And then first game, I had to mull down to 5. Opening hand, I should have kept, it was three Lotus Petals with no land, and like a sneak attack, and maybe like a couple of draw spells, a couple cantrips in it. So there was potential, but he just kept me off land the entire game. Basically, same thing happened in game two. I had to keep like a two lander. Not even. I got like three or four land in my opener, and he just kept wastelanding and just kept me off land. And when your opponent can just keep you off your plan and what you're trying to do, it just hurts.
Damn.
But that was bad. That was the game I made my worst misplay in. Is I tried to resolve a sneak attack while I had force up. I had force with a spell pierce to pitch, and I missed it. He countered it, and I completely missed countering it back, and that basically cost me the game. We would have gone to game three if I would have been able to counter his either daze or force of will.
Yeah.
So there's a big blunder there, but you know, it's,
you live and you learn, Jeff.
Yeah,
you live and you learn.
It just didn't hit my head, and head was somewhere else. But after that 0-2 loss, I get elves. I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's not going to be too bad.
Hey, yeah, it's not going to be too bad. I've played Alec and elves like 10 times. And,
yeah.
You know, 9 out of 10 times I've whooped his ass.
But, I mean, when you don't see the cards you need in sideboard, it really hurts. Like, it really, really hurts. And
yeah, I was hoping for a mirror match. But we'll get to my matches shortly.
So I want to say he got me game one, looking at the score sheet. It was just beat down, beat down, beat down.
Yeah.
Just, you don't have anything, okay.
Yeah, I wish I would have stood over that guy's shoulder and been like, yeah, beat that asshole.
Game two, I want to say he was hitting me with Deathrite Shaman, and then I resolved Emrakul, and it was game over. He didn't have an answer, didn't have a glimpse, didn't have anything, and that was basically over there. And then basically the same thing that happened in the first game. I basically shot myself in the foot by not countering a another giant misplay, by not countering a Green Sun Zenith.
Yeah.
Because he mainboarded Gaddic Teak. And that's after actually reading the card, not being able to resolve a sneak attack really hurts.
Yep.
So, like, and not having availability to that card basically shut me off of my game plan, because I had one in the game. Basically, when I'd be able to play it, he dropped Gaddic Teak on the board, and I was like, well, that's, I have to find a way to get rid of that now. And I didn't drop it.
Yep.
And
Gaddic Teak will do that to you.
Mm-hmm. Then moving on to my last match of the day, round six. So I win the die roll. I'm on the play. Have a Jataxian probe in hand. See what he's playing, and it's Eldrazi. And I look at my hand, and I'm immediately sad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. It was really funny for this last round. I'm interjecting real quick. Jeff and I, you know, both did VIPs, and we see around, and so we're like, oh, I'm at 612. Oh, Jeff's at 614. Nice. It's like the closest we'd ever sitting together at any, you know, kind of event, apart from like at Time Travelers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm like, in my game six, my first game, and I like look over, and it's like,
we're packing up.
Jeff's packing up. I'm like,
he looks over, and I just give you the bad look.
He gives you the bad look.
Like, I'm give like, him a nice,
what the hell happened?
Give him a thumbs down.
Yeah.
Just not having it, man. Just didn't have the lands. Game two, if I would have drawn one more land, I had a Lotus Petal, a land, and a Blood Moon in hand.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, screams, keep this.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's no reason not to.
Nope.
Game two, I just got too low to be able to do anything. If I was going to want, because of the Ancient Tombs, I wouldn't be able to resolve anything.
Mm-hmm.
That got me a couple games. But Eldrazi's annoying. That's really about it. It's the same modern deck, just with different lands and chalices.
Yeah.
That's really all I have to say. How was your matchups on the day, Alec?
I don't know. I had a pretty good time. So game one, I was up against a gentleman playing Infect, which is a brutal matchup. You have to, so basically, you know, we'll go through this real quick. But for Infect, especially with Elves, you have to have you have to go off fast.
Just basically, you have to go off turn two.
Turn two, turn three,
mm-hmm.
depending on the draw that your opponent has. So you're looking at turn two, turn three fast, or you have all the time in the world when he keeps missing land drops.
Which he'll do a lock. They'll only run like 15, if that.
Yeah. Apart from that, so first game, turn three loss. Blighted Agent into Vastwood.
Vines of Vastwood.
And what was the other one? Basically made his Blighted Agent a 10-10 and 10 infect. Boom, dead. So there's game one.
Probably like Pendlehaven with Vines.
Yeah, that sounds...
With like something other... Like the green like Phyrexian mana pump spell.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, that's it.
It's like the green +2/+2.
Yeah. So basically, that was rough. Game two, so I side in a lot of hate, you know, Cabals and everything. And of course, I don't hit any of my like hate that, you know, will sort of work against this deck. And then I go and luckily, okay, I'm like, oh crap, it's turn three. I have enough mana to cast Natural Order. I have Natural Order in my hand. This is awesome. Hell yeah. So I cast Natural Order. He has no counter to it. I get Progenitus out. I sided in Progenitus. Boom. That puts you on a two turn clock. And then I go to my next turn and I'm like, I top deck a second Natural Order. Has no answer to it. Boom. Crater Hoof Behemoth and Progenitus. Swing, swing, dead.
Yep.
You know, so I'm just like, all right, hell yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, so we go to game three.
Then he's on the play.
And turn three, boom, the exact same thing that happened to me in game one. Yep. The exact same thing. So, you know, that was game one against Infect. Game two was against... it was probably more on the Selesnya side. Mid-range. It was interesting. Basically, I was put on a four-turn clock with Sigarda because I had no flying answer. Gore Hexproof.
Gross.
So that game was not fun. That guy 2-0'd me pretty fast. And then I go into game three against... God, I wish
was
I
this would... like your Jund matchup?
No, Jund matchup was my last matchup.
I thought you had like two.
No, because remember, I thought it was okay. Jund, mm-hmm. but it was like some weird Selesnya with like Tarmogoyf. It was weird.
Okay. If they couldn't, it's been Greenwood Hate Bears.
No, that was later. Whatever. All right, so I don't remember. I should have wrote it down like Jeff did. And then yep, you're right. Green White Hate Bears. I was my third match. Okay. That match I won.
Or was it like Bant Hate Bears? Because I think Meddling Mage like Blue White.
Oh wait, no, I lost that one. No, he was playing Stone Forge.
Okay, like Stoneblade. Right.
Yeah, Stoneblade. Fuck. What was it? Whatever. I go on to a Grixis Delver.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, one of my favorites. Actually, probably one of my next legacy decks I'm gonna build, and I walk all over him. He just wasn't playing the deck right. It wasn't surprising. He didn't really look like he knew what he was doing.
I feel like that's one of the decks that if you just pick it up, it's very bad.
Yeah.
Because of all of the counter spells.
You know, he just didn't know what he was doing. First game, I got a Crater Hoof out, boom, boom, boom. Second game, I side in Progenitus two times. I got Crater Hoof and Progenitus out. And he was just like, yeah, I don't even want to keep playing. So that was fun. And then I went out and played this kid. It was a Stoneblade. He was super nice kid. He's like, he had to have been like 14 years old. And he's like, yeah, I only play Legacy. I was like, dude, how do you afford it? And he's just like, oh, my dad buys me stuff.
Must be. I like, wish my dad bought me Magic cards.
Yeah, that would have been a hell of a life. Like, you know, if you're 14 and you can play Legacy, like Jeff and I thought we were going to be the youngest people there because we're both 23. And, you know, I mean, Legacy is generally an older, more older populace because of the fact that, you know, cards are more pricey and it's a deeper part of the game. It's for older nerds, I like to say. But yeah, he was tough, man. First game, I killed him. Like, it was super fast. And then he sided in Meddling Mage and shut me down. Oh, Meddling Mage, Sword of Feast and Famine. Like, and he kept putting the Sword of Feast and Famine on Meddling Mage, so I couldn't, like...
Couldn't interact with it. Pro green black.
Yeah, I couldn't interact with it, like, at all. You know, so I... It was messed up. But, you know, good off for him, man. He was playing really well. He got really happy when he won. And that makes me happy because I really care about, you know, not just, you know, that's why I like this game. You know, there's a lot of people that I meet and a lot of people that I like. And then just sort of bettering the community. You know, if you're going to be a dick and you play Magic, like, you know, don't be around people. You know, you play Magic, get online. And be a dick online. But when you're face-to-face with somebody, you gotta have that personality, you gotta have that fun, you gotta care, you know? So, I don't know. And then my final one, there was one in the middle, and I just cannot remember for the life of me what it was. But my final one was against Jund. Our first game was 30 minutes long for six, and that was absolutely crazy. Sorry again if you hear this. If we can't cut this out, there are crazy people in the hallway of the hotel. So if you hear that in the background, we apologize. But Jund is interesting. It had a pretty good setup. I had a natural order that resolved. I was on top in game one. And then it just, he ended up having some answers for things, and it dragged out way, way too long. And then I just kept decking lands that I didn't need. I needed an answer. And, you know, I didn't have one. Went to game two. Game two was really fast. I also sort of gave up. We had like 10 minutes left, and I was just like, I don't got nothing. Bye. You know. So it was definitely interesting. Met a lot of awesome people today. You know, my favorite part is I got a new Rick and Morty playmat signed by RK Post. Shout out to RK Post, amazing artist. He made this Rick and Morty map.
You almost didn't get it.
It's beautiful. I almost didn't get it if Jeff didn't point it out to me.
I'm like, hey, look at that Rick and Morty map. You gonna get that? He's like, what?
Yeah.
Stopped in his tracks when I said Rick and Morty.
I probably would have, like, paid double for what I paid for it. It's amazing. So, yeah, we got a lot of awesome things. You know... All right. I'm Bob. All right, so we apologize about that. If you hear a break, we're going to try to edit it out. But we had a bunch of crazy, stupid kids in the lobby or hallway of our hotel, and they were being really loud, so we apologize about that. We're going to wrap this thing up pretty soon. This one's going to be a pretty short episode. Just, you know, going over our days, and then we will be back to our normal Sunday recording. We're hoping to move up schedules and be posting Wednesday. So our next episode should be up probably Wednesday the 22nd will be our next episode posting, if not sooner than that. For episode 8 of Cardboard Crack. But real quick, before we go, I bought a case of Eternal Masters. I balled out. I had to. Eternal Masters, like, you know, like I've said in previous podcasts, I've never been so excited for something in my life, which is sad. It was just so cool. So I bought my case. We cracked him at the hotel. Oh, God.
It was insane.
Oh, God.
Like, we cracked the first box, and I say, oh, my God, dude, your luck's done. Like, there's nothing else good you can pull, obviously. What was it? You got a foil Nimble Mongoose, foil Curd Ape.
Foil Natural Order.
Yep, foil Natural Order.
Regular Natural Order.
Well, that was in another box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But then you also got the Mana Crypt.
Yep, Mana Crypt in that box. So you were like, oh, dude, my luck's out. You know, that's it.
And then we open up the second box, and this box is junk. I think your best mythic might have been World Gorger Dragon.
Fuck you, don't say that. Take that back.
In that second box, dude, that box was terrible.
I got some decent
rares. Maybe Balance.
I got, like, a Toxic Delusion. World Gorger's probably way more than Balance. It's not rocking pretty high. But I got some okay commons and uncommons and a couple of rares that were okay. But, yeah, it was pretty swaggy. Box three.
This box made Alex stop existing.
Yeah,
for a good 5 seconds.
I dropped off the face of the universe.
Just cracking packs, and then
and then I looked down.
Alex, you know, we're looking through all the uncommons, all the rares, and then I crack a pack. And then Alex just goes.
I died.
I just saw him, and it just, like, the mouth was open, the eyes were wide open, and he just wasn't moving. I was like, dude, like, oh my God, foil force of will. I was like, what? And he was like, foil force of will, and he put it on the table, and we're like, dude, sleeve now.
He's like, give it to me right now. It was insane. It was cool to see that. I ended up pulling 2 foil mythics. I got a foil daze. I got 2 foil counter spells. I got a bunch of awesome rares. I got a playset of Deathrite Shamans, which I need for my Grixis Delver deck. I got a playset of Baleful Strix.
You got some other good cards out of that box too. I think you got like a Shardless Agent out of there.
I have 3 Shardless Agents. Like, it's crazy. You know, it was, and I don't care, you know, people say this, yes, this week prices are fluctuating, so everything is up, down, up, down, up, down. It's crazy. It's all across the board. So we give it a couple of weeks and it'll settle, and I probably will still have about my money's worth of the case, especially because of that foil force.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those things. Yeah, I have a couple of extra ones that I'll probably trade tomorrow that I don't really need, but it's like a majority of them, like, this is how Jeff rules. Like, if our shoes were reversed and Jeff pulled that foil force, it would be so out of his hands so fast.
If I needed forces, it would. The fact that I don't, like, I'd be like, okay, I give me, like, a playset of regular forces. Give me, like, 2 of them, 3 of them. Give me 3 regular forces for this. Okay.
Oh, man, I want to lock that up in a vault somewhere. Like, that's... I don't think I could ever trade that. It's like pulling an expedition, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like when I traded in my Wooded Foothills. I went to a pre-release. I pulled the Wooded Foothills for Battle for Zendikar, and I was like, well, I either have this one card, or I get a full case of Russian, and maybe I pull another one.
You didn't.
I didn't. Out of the Russian, at least. Pulled 3 out of the case.
Would have been sweet if they were in Russian, though.
Yeah, that would have been fucking amazing.
I think if they actually printed Russian expeditions, that's just printing infinite money.
Yeah. That's printing gold shit bricks.
Yeah, but that's a good thing they didn't do that.
You know, so it is what it is. I absolutely loved it. If you have the money to spare... I'm not saying go and do it, but if you have the money to spare... Got some cards you're not using that you don't plan on using, trade them in, try to at least get a box. It's just so much fun. Like, I wasn't playing when Force originally came out. I wasn't playing when Mana Crypt came out. I wasn't playing when Caracas came out. I wasn't playing when Jace the Mind Sculptor came out. Like, there are...
so many cards that I wasn't playing for that I get a second chance to crack in a pack.
Oh, I got a deck too.
Oh, and I got
in
a
that
deck
in that stupid force box.
Yeah, that box was great. Yeah, Dag Faden. You know, and it's just do it. It's great. I'm hoping for more if I can afford it. I might be living on the street. I'm gonna go sell my TV and my PlayStation 4 and just buy Eternal Masters and sleep with them.
Just start selling organs you have two of.
Yeah, I got two kidneys. I don't need two kidneys.
Just need one.
Black market, give me 20,000.
I want to buy all the Eternal Masters.
Give me 12 cases.
God, it'd be insane.
Actually, it'd be like, I could probably get like 17 cases, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
For 20,000.
Because it's like a grand. No, it's roughly like a grand.
With tax. Well,
yeah.
It's roughly a grand with tax. With mm-hmm. awesome.
But come on, this is
cups.
Black market. You're getting paid in cold, hard cash.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're gonna wake up in a fucking bathtub with your fucking money in a briefcase. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, hopefully.
And, gonna walk into your LGS, you know, all jaundiced and, you know, aching on one side. And then you're gonna be like, guys, I want all your Eternal Masters boxes. And you're gonna crack that briefcase open. And
money, money, money!
Bands on bands on bands. But I mean, realistically, like Alex been saying, if you can get at least one box, yes, it's a lottery. Like you said, we had that junk box. Like,
yeah,
where he had the balance. He had the World Gorge. Right. That was really it.
I'm not saying that you're going to get gold every single time. I'm not saying that you're going to get beautifulness. I'm not saying that you're going to get the world, but it is so much fun. If you can crack a force, if you can crack, like, that was great. That was
amazing.
Caracas
even.
Yeah, Caracas, you know, like, all
there's like half your money made back.
Yeah. You know, so if you can do it and you have the time, go get Eternal Masters.
Hell, you
thank
got
you,
what,
Wizards
like
of the Coast.
Two or three Sensei's Divining Tops.
Three.
Yeah.
You know? It was great. So, I think that's gonna do it for an episode, our short episode eight. Or what? No, this is seven.
This is seven.
This is seven. Short episode seven. We'll have a longer episode eight.
Yeah. I'd say real quick, big shout out to some guys we met.
Oh yeah.
Christine Sprinkle, fucking awesome cosplayer, dude. Like the detail in all of her work is insane. Paul Cheon, dude, watching him play, my favorite Magic player. He was playing Storm today, obviously he'll be on tomorrow since he day two'd. Just watching, you know, someone that has been testing the deck over and over and over again online and putting in the work, and then shows up and just murks with it. God, I love that. Got a nice autograph, nice picture with him. And then met a couple of guys, Jeremy and Pat Uglow from Leaving a Legacy. Give those guys a big shout out. Real great guys. Pat got a feature match in round two. So, yeah, we're kind of under the radar because of GP Prague, but big ups to him on that even one. So, if anybody was receiving those texts and whatnot, you know, big ups on that. But anybody you want to give a quick shout-out to?
I mean, everybody I played against, you know. I only played against one dick. That's generally a good thing. A lot of awesome people. I didn't really meet as many people as Jeff did.
Oh, I went out of my way.
Because he went out of his way, and my matches took so long for the most part. So, yeah, but that's basically it. It's going to do it for another episode of Cardboard Crack. I'm Alec.
I'm Jeff.
Take it easy, kids.
Yep, take it easy, everybody.